It's good to be here. I really didn't retire. I simply say I've been repositioned. And that's the term that I've been using the last 5 years when I left the active parish ministry at Concordia Kirkwood. And since that time, I directed the Great Commission convocation in Minneapolis in 1993, where we had over 9,000 Lutherans from across the country in attendance. And I'm working with the present GCC at the same time with these other responsibilities. I hope that what I say this morning will be some food for thought as you think in terms of moving out into the lives of congregations, so that you will be able to catch what I'm calling the age wave. A radiologist fell in love with one of his patients. They decided to get married. And as the bride was coming down the aisle, a guest in the audience turned to the person sitting beside her and said, "I wonder what he saw in her." This morning, I wonder what you see in terms of the opportunities and challenges that are facing us as we are being confronted with the graying of America, the dramatic senior surge, the onrush of the age wave. And the question is, are we in the church ready for this paradigm shift? Are congregations going to be willing to set priorities? First of all, to reach out and to touch the lives of older adults, members of the parish, to help them mature in their faith? And secondly, are they willing to reach out to touch the lives of older, unbelieving adults in the community in order to bring them to faith and Christian discipleship? I want to pause for a moment and ask you to take the blue inventory sheet, which you have before you, and I would like to quickly run through that to help you discover or rediscover your perception of older adults. Because as I travel around and visit pastors, I sort of come away with the idea that many of them have not caught an understanding of what's happening in terms of older adults. Number one, the majority of old people past age 65 are senile. No, no, no. Less than 10%. Number two, all five senses tend to decline in old age. That's true. However, taste and smell much slower. With the result is that is why older people love to eat. And that's why a lot of older people today are putting on too much weight. And that's why they're very sensitive to smells, because those two senses are not declining as rapidly as the other three. Number three, most old people have no interest in or capacity for sexual relations. False. Maybe not as frequent, but as fervent. Number four, lung capacity tends to decline in old age. That's true. Five, the majority of older people feel miserable most of the time. Wrong. Majority of those over 65 feel very good about what is taking place. Number six, physical strength tends to decline in old age. That's true. I recognize that. I can't play tennis as well as I used to. Number seven, at least one-tenth of the aged are living in long-stay institutions. That's false. Only 5% of the people over 65 are in nursing homes. And only 9.1% are in nursing homes who are over 75. So not all older adults end up in nursing homes. And when I talk to pastors and I ask them the practical question, what are you doing in older adult ministry? Well, they tell me they visit the nursing homes and they commune the shut-ins. And oh yes, they have a group that meets once a month for potluck dinners and for bingo and the like. And I say, is that all? And then one guy said to me several weeks ago, "Oh yeah, one of our members retired. He was the bank president." And I thought I would go and ask him to help us out in the parish. And so I asked him whether he would come in on Monday morning and count the money. And I said to him, "Did the guy say yes?" He said, "No." He said, "No." And I said to myself, and then I finally said it to him, "Hey, that bank president hardly ever counted money in his life. You don't put a bank president to a menial task of counting money. You use his gifts in other ways in the life of the ministry of the parish." Number 8, aged drivers have fewer accidents per person than drivers under age 65. That's true. Most older workers cannot work as effectively as younger workers. That's false. They're as accurate, they are steady, they're on the job. The only difference is that they are a little slower in learning a new activity, but once they learn it, you can count on them. Number 10, about 80% of the aged are healthy enough to carry out their normal activities. That's true. Number 11, most old people are set in their ways and unable to change. That's false. In the parish, I found older adults more flexible and willing to change more so than some of the baby boomers in their 40s. Number 12, older people usually take longer to learn something new. That's true. Number 13, it is almost impossible for most old people to learn new things. That's false. The only difference is that it takes them a little longer. 14, the reaction time of most old people tends to be slower than reaction time of younger people. And of course, that's obvious true on the basis of what we've been saying. Number 15, in general, most old people are pretty much alike. They're as different as night and day. But when you talk to people, so often their image, their perception of older adults, they're decrepit and they really aren't with it anymore. Number 16, the majority of old people are socially isolated and lonely. That's false. 17, the majority of old people are seldom bored. Only one-third in most surveys claim that they're a little bored with life, which says that two-thirds are enjoying life. Number 18, older workers have fewer accidents than younger workers. That's true. Over 15% of the United States population are now age 65 or over. That's false. Today, it is about 12%. But by the year 2020, it'll be 17%. And by the year 2040, it will be 25%. Number 20, most medical practitioners tend to give low priority to the aged. Unfortunately, that's true. But there's a change happening, and we thank God for that. Number 21, the majority of older people have incomes below the poverty level. That's false. They're well above. Only 15.3% are under the poverty level. 22, the majority of older people are working or would like to have some kind of work to do. And that's true. 12% are still in the workforce with full-time jobs. And that's going to be changing. More and more will continue in the workforce. 23, older people tend to become more religious as they age. That's false, but there is an increased interest in what we might call a philosophical approach to life, or they're willing to deal with religious issues. What turns older people off in terms of the church is because they have had bad experiences with the institution called church. But if you can reach them apart from the institution, for example, we built an apartment complex back in 1985 at Concordia Kirkwood, and we have about 90 residents, and most of those residents had little or no congregational affiliation, it was amazing how many we could get out for Bible study. It was amazing how many of them had a concern about their relationship with God. But not too many of them were really concerned about joining a congregation. However, we were able to confirm about 25 adults, older adults, those that were residents of Concordia House, and we were able to get them into the life of the parish and into life of worship because we showed that we cared about them. And I think that's the key. Number 24, the majority of older people are seldom irritated or angry. That's true. And the health and the socioeconomic status of older people compared to younger people in the year 2000 will probably be about the same as now. That's false, probably much higher. Well, if you had all of these right, you can leave. But if you didn't have them all right, why, maybe you can stay. I have a few things that I'd still like to say this morning. Some weeks ago, I ran across a little poem that said, "There is a time for all things, but one thing for all times. Remember older adults." And I said to myself, how do you do that? And I answered my own question by simply saying, I need to look and I need to listen and I need to learn and I need to lean. And so for a few moments, I invite you to join me as we do a little looking and a little listening and a little learning and a little leaning. I like what Robert Browning once wrote, "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be." And I believe that. I think these last 5 years of my life have been tremendous. I've enjoyed it. Even though my wife died several months ago, this 5 years of being so-called in retirement has been a real blessing for me. And it allows me to do things which normally I couldn't do because of the structure. Okay, let's take a look. What do we need to look? What do we need to see? First of all, we need to see that aging is a gift from God. It's a special creation of God. And so then the congregation needs to take a look at its ministry in terms of how are we helping older adults mature in their faith. And at the same time, be willing to take a risk and to reach out into the community where there are many unchurched older adults. And how can we touch their lives for the sake of the gospel? And looking today, you need to see that the age wave is coming. It's already upon us. There is a tremendous, dramatic paradigm shift in our culture from youth to old age. Formerly, it was 1 out of 10 who lived beyond 65. Today, it is 8 out of 10 living beyond 65. Or to put it another way, in this year, 1996, every second, one person in America turns 65. Did you know that there are half of our population is over 45? And there are more older adults over 65 than there are young people under 18. Or did you know that the number of folks in America over 65 is a greater number than the entire population of Canada? Now let's bring it down into the life of the parish. I want you to picture this scenario. If you were a pastor of a congregation at the turn of the century, 1900, and you had 500 members, how many do you think would have been over 65? Anybody want to guess? 21. Now today you're a pastor of a congregation. 500 are in your parish. How many today are over 65? 160. 160. Now then, when you are going to be in the prime of your ministry, most of you, in the year 2020, and you had 500 members, how many do you think would have been or will be over 65? 225. That's almost half of your congregation. Now, in the life of the church today in America, in the Protestant church, surveys show that 27% of the folks in worship are over 65. But in the Missouri Synod, it's 37% in worship over 65. And as I've been traveling around and visiting different congregations, and Dale Meyer of the Lutheran Hour agrees with my observation, we don't see congregations with baby boomers in them in worship. Very few. And I believe I have the answer to that. Why? Because we as a church body, we as congregations, do a lousy job in making the visitor feel welcomed. I've been with my wife before she died several months ago. We were in 35 Missouri Synod congregations. She would agree with me. We wouldn't go back to 25 because of the way in which we were treated as guests, as visitors. And I made an interesting observation. Where we went to congregations and felt unwelcome, the liturgy, the worship was Dullsville. And the preaching tended to be a treatise rather than to help the worshiper grasp what does this gospel saying to meet my needs in my life. And where a pastor made the liturgy come alive and where the pastor's preaching was relevant to the needs of people, those congregations we felt welcome. I think in the church today, in our proclamation of the gospel, we need first of all to help the people understand the context of the gospel in relationship to life. We need to deal with the content of the gospel, but then we have to help them make contact and to reach older adults. That's extremely important, to try to communicate the gospel in a way where they see that this can meet my needs. In a recent survey, 40% of the churches and synagogues in America today, 40%, have little or no real emphasis upon a ministry to older adults. And so I say to you this morning, I believe it's time to vision and to plan for the age wave which is already upon us. Especially when you think in the life of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that 37% of the people in worship are over 65. So much for looking. Let's spend a little time listening. And I could spend hours on this topic because I want to answer this question in terms of what is God saying to us in His Word concerning aging. Let me just leave you with just a few references to the Scriptures. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, the fourth chapter. Paul says the most important thing in life is not what you see, wrinkles or no wrinkles, gray hair or no gray hair. The most important thing in life is what's going on inside. And Paul's message is there needs to be a daily renewal of the inner spirit for young as well as for old. Or turn your attention to the book of Leviticus. God Himself is speaking and He says, "Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and serve Me." The message is clear. If you continue to read in that part of Leviticus, that we are to listen to older people as they begin to share their faith and their hope and their experiences and their wisdom. And you see, our culture up until recent times has sort of saying, you older people, you've had it. You're on the shelf. We don't want to listen to you. We've got the answers to life, especially the younger and the baby boomer. Or turn to Psalm 71. That's an old person's prayer. And he simply tells us that in every age, we need to be proclaiming the promises of God. Gray hair and old age does not mean retirement from being faithful. And a lot of older adults have a tendency that once they retire from their daily occupations, that gives them the right to retire from ministry in the life of the parish. And we need to change that attitude. Psalm 92, I think, is one of the best ones, because the psalmist minces no words in telling us that God's people will still bear fruit in their old age. He says, they will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright, he is my rock. And then the psalmist goes on to compare the older adult to a palm tree. And you and I don't know much about palm trees, at least I don't. And I did a study on that. And man, does this imagery come alive when you understand the characteristics of a palm tree. Palm trees have a long lifespan, well over 100 years. Now get this. They're very productive in their old age. The best of dates come from palm trees that are over 100 years old. And palm trees are very flexible. They don't become brittle in the desert sun. They're able to sway with the breezes and the winds and the storms and stay alive. And then palm trees in a desert have a real purpose to provide relaxation and refreshment for the traveler. And so the psalmist is simply saying that we who are older adults, we can be very productive, we can be very flexible, and indeed, we still have a purpose for living. I believe that God's message is loud and clear, that we in the church have the responsibility to help older adults, as well as ourselves, remember who we are. We are on a journey. We are travelers through life. And we talk about that in terms of being a pilgrim. And who is a pilgrim? A pilgrim is an individual who has a shrine in his heart. That's Jesus Christ. A pilgrim is an individual who has service in his hands. That's offering his self and his gifts to people. And a pilgrim is an individual who has a destiny, his goal, heaven. And I believe that we've got to help older adults understand and grasp the significance of being a pilgrim. We need to get congregations today to help older adults ask the question, why does God give me these extended years of living? And I keep asking that question of myself. How come the Lord is letting me continue to live? I'll be 70 in 2 weeks. My father was dead at 64. My grandfather was dead at 58. And here I am. 70. Why does God allow me to continue to live? And you see, many older adults today are healthy and well. And shouldn't we challenge them to put that into discipleship in the life of the parish, in the life of the community? So much for listening. The next verb is to learn. What do we need to learn today about older adults? Number one, we need to learn that they fall into three categories, which then means for the church that we have to meet different needs. The literature talks about the young old age, the old age, and the old age. I like to put it this way. Among older adults, you have the go-go's, the slow-go's, and the no-go's. And so then, in the life of a parish, first of all, you need to have a ministry for the no-go's. You need to have a ministry with the slogos. And you need to have a ministry by the go-gos. And when I was still in the parish, so often when somebody would retire, they would say to me, "Well, I've done my shtick in this parish. Let the young people do it." And yet they have more time and more energy, and they have health to be used in the life of the kingdom. Number two, we need to learn today that there is a dramatic shift in the role change of older adults. This poem will best describe it. In the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't fast, Grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, tat, and babysit. When the kids were in a jam, they could always count on Gram. In an age of gracious living, Grandma was the gal for giving. Grandma now is at the gym, exercising to keep slim. She's off touring with a bunch, taking clients out to lunch, driving north to ski or curl. All her days are in a whirl. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker. What else do we need to learn today? We need to learn to change the unfortunate spirit that exists out there yet. And that is that when we retire, retire from our daily occupation, and society puts us on the shelf, and they really don't want to listen to us anymore. Now that's changing. But it's still out there. And the result of that is that many older adults have developed what I call the rocking chair philosophy. And the result of that is that there has been a tremendous increase of loneliness and alcoholism and ostracism and suicide among older adults. In the last 10 years, there has been a dramatic increase of suicides among older adults. Today, 19.1 out of every 100,000 persons in America who are over 65 commit suicide. And that's greater than any other age group. More older adults today are committing suicide than teenagers. And I believe it's the reason that they have died in their spirits while their bodies are still living. And their culture has forced them, for at least for many of them, to become couch potatoes. And I believe that in the church, we need to begin to help older adults see that life of the church doesn't just mean shuffleboard and bingo and potluck dinners and day trips. And yet if you talk to pastors and you observe congregations, for many, that's their older adult ministry. Not that they should be involved in shuffleboard and bingo and potluck dinners and day trips, but there's much more to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What else do we need to learn today? I think we need to learn as a church and leaders in the church, we've got to become involved in the issues that are confronting our society because people are aging so. Here are a list of a few of the issues that I think that the church has to speak out. Medical and ethical issues. A healthcare delivery system. The social security dilemma. The housing crisis. The isolation of older adults. Home care services. Abuse of older adults. Just take the housing, for example. Back in 1985, I was convinced that one of the ministries of Concordia Lutheran Church is to provide housing for older adults because that was a critical issue in the town of Kirkwood. And so our congregation stepped out and we built an apartment complex for senior adults. And I bet from about 1984 to 87, I visited about 20 congregations in the greater St. Louis area trying to convince them to do likewise. because there was a government program, a HUD program at that time, where a church and the government could work together to provide senior citizen housing. How many congregations do you think that I was able to reach with the message? None. Nobody followed through. And the answer I always was get, that's mixing church and state. We're not in the real estate of business. And I believe we're not in the real estate of business. But we need to become a catalyst in the community that we are for the express person to touch the lives of people who are in need. And certainly there was a tremendous need for housing in the Kirkwood community. And now the Clee Groves is picking up on that and building an apartment complex in Kirkwood. And at that time, we got the city to get involved in building an apartment complex for senior citizens. Finally, number five, I think we, you and I together, your age and at my age, we've got to help people say this. Some of my best friends are aging, but you can't live without it. I'd rather be over the hill than under the hill. See, if I go up to a young person and say, how old are you? They'll tell me. But if I go to a person past 40 and ask them, how old are you? They won't tell you. At least many of them. And in the life of the congregation, I raise this question. We have liturgies for baptism and confirmation and weddings. Why not have liturgies for those couples that are experiencing the empty nest syndrome, which wasn't a part of our culture years ago? Or why not have liturgies for people when they retire from their daily occupation? And some congregations are beginning to do that. Or why is it that a congregation is willing to put on their staff a person who will deal with youth ministry, but they cringe when you suggest that they have somebody on their staff to deal primarily with older adults? Especially today when you begin to see what's coming down the pike. So much for what I think we need to be learning today in terms of older adults, and there's much more. The last verb is to lean. I believe that we need to lean on our older adults and to listen to them and to let them provide opportunities for them to share their faith and their hope and their experiences and their wisdom. Let me read to you just several verses from the book of Ecclesiasticus. It's one of the apocryphal books. Pay attention to what old people say. You can learn from them. They can teach you how to have an answer ready when you need one. Sound judgment, good advice, and gray hair go together beautifully. Wisdom, understanding, and sound counsel are appropriate to the aged. Elderly people wear the crown of long experience, and they can boast of nothing finer than their fear of the Lord. You know and I know that the Jewish community does a beautiful job of letting older adults become involved in the development of their society and their culture, something which we have lost in America. And it seems to me that we need to regain that. And we in the church can do just that as we are willing to speak out. I think we need to lean on older adults, and they will help us in the growth of our congregation. Older adults can become a part of the pastoral team. They can call on the sick and the lonely and the forsaken and the forgotten and those in the nursing home. They can become involved in our parochial schools by coming in and sharing some of their skills and some of their activities. And I could go on sharing with you how many congregations now are beginning to make it possible for older adults to be involved in ministry. They're not interested in busy work, the go-go's, those who are retiring early. But they are interested, I hear it over and over again as I travel around the church, they are interested in doing something worthwhile for the kingdom. And so we need to provide the environment, the climate, that makes older adults feel wanted and feel needed, and then discover or rediscover what their gifts are and how you can put them into ministry for the growth of the parish. And I believe that if a congregation intensifies its ministry to older adults, that those older adults will become involved in the community where they are, and they will be touching the lives of unbelieving older adults. And I think there's a great harvest out there to bring them in. This booklet which I've given you, Catch the Age Wave, I believe the two arms are right on target. The first 90 pages simply help you see what's happening among older adults. And then the remaining pages help you see what's can be done in order to reach the unbelieving older adult for the Lord. This is a new day. The gospel doesn't change. But the way we go about communicating that gospel needs to change in order to touch older adults with Jesus Christ, always for healing and for service. I'd like to have you turn to the second last page, and I would like to kind of conclude my presentation by reciting these Beatitudes in a responsive way as we do Psalms in our worship. The second last page, the title is Beatitudes for Friends of Older Adults. Blessed are those who remember that the commandment is to honor me, not patronize me.
Blessed are those who remember that the throne of old is still growing.
Blessed are those who know that aging is not a sin.
Blessed are those who have encouraged me when I was younger, and made reasonable plans for myself for my later years, so that my children will not have to do something with me on the basis of guilt or desperation.
Blessed are those who know that I still like and need to give and receive affection, including physical affection, and do not recoil at the thought of touching me or being touched by me.
Blessed are those who remember that I am still interested in the brethren, and that when I talk about the past, it is usually a cry of wisdom for the present.
Blessed are those who realize that senility is not inevitable, but can be prevented and often reserved. Blessed are those who remember that death is a fact of life and do not insist on compounding my final suffering with the indignity of inhumane mechanical efforts to keep me lingering as a breathing, heart-beating corpse. I prepared this discussion paper for you to take a look at. You'll discover that it summarizes much of what I've been saying this morning, but it'll give you further food for thought as you think in terms of getting ready to move out into the parish, and I believe that you have a tremendous challenge before you in intensifying and enhancing your older adult ministry. I've also given you a white sheet, resources for older adult ministry. I would encourage you to look at that if you want a manual to help you get started in your parish to enhance your older adult ministry. The manual by Robert Garmatz, Never Too Old, from CPH, is a good one, as is also the one from Augsburg Publishing House, as well as if you can send older adults to Roy Brockop's seminars that he has been conducting across the country of our church, guidelines to intentionally enhance older adult ministries. Those are hands-on, practical manuals. A number of books. You ought to be familiar with Ken Dykewald's Age Wave, with Betty Friedan's book, The Fountain of Age, from a humanistic point of view, but it certainly helps you to understand what's happening and how attitudes are changing. Stephen Sapp's book, Full of Years, is a good one, and you have a copy now of Catch the Age Wave. And the book by Arthur Becker, Ministry with Older Persons, I believe is one of the better ones from a Lutheran perspective. A number of videos, the one that if you really want to see what's coming down the pike is the third one, Age Wave by Ken Dykewald. You can buy that for $19, I think, $19.95, from Charles Arne. It was produced by Blue Cross Blue Shield out in California. There's an audio cassette from the Lutheran Hour. And then on the back side, I have listed a number of devotional booklets as well as some Bible studies. And the two that have jumped out at me in more recent days, down toward the end of that first list, by James E. Miller, Autumn Wisdom, and James E. Miller, Winter Grief, Summer Grace. You ought to have the bookstore here order some of those, and you ought to take a look at them or encourage the library to get them. I believe they're excellent in helping older adults deal with their later years in life, as well as to deal with the matter of grief, because grief process sets in not only when they lose a spouse or they lose a marriage, but when they move from retirement into another phase of their life. Many older adults now are going to be living one-third of their life as retirees. Then a number of organizations. AARP has a lot of stuff that can help you. The ALOA, an organization among Lutherans, is a new organization where we're trying to intensify and sensitize the church to the challenge before us. Shirley Bergman out at Seward has an institute now on aging and family, and the Older Adult Ministry Task Force, of which I've been a member for 10 years, we try to keep producing or letting the church know through each district now has an Older Adult Task Force, and I believe that's trying to help congregations become more sensitive to what is coming before us. I want to say one more thing, and then I'll leave it open for any observations or comments that you want to make, and that is to deal with the sandwich generation. And what's the sandwich generation? I'm one. That means that you have your mother or father or in-laws on one side of the fence, and then you've got your kids and your grandkids on the other side. And here I'm 70 years old, and I'm dealing with that, and with that, and with that. We refer to ourselves as the sandwich generation. And you're caught in a squeeze many times as to what to do or what not to do. I have assumed the responsibility of taking care of my mother-in-law. I try to go feed her nearly every day. Some of my kids say, "Dad, why are you spending so much time? How about spending more time with the grandchildren?" And yet, I'm caught, and I try to do both. But you're going to be out there in the parish, and you're going to have people coming in to seeing you as to what they should be doing in terms of their parents and their children and their grandchildren. It's a whole new phenomena. It's a new age. What will you be doing as you move out into the parish to deal with this dramatic paradigm shift in our culture from youth to old age? Well, thanks for listening. I'm willing to take any questions or comments on your part. They said I ought to go to about 11:15, and it's 11:16, so I've kept my word. To that I say amen. You know what amen means, don't you? This is most certainly true? No, I buy that. That's really what amen means in 20th century language. I buy that. Think about that for a moment. Great idea. Okay, yes. Not offhand. It may be in Arne's book, but there are a lot out there that are unchurched. And you see, what's happening with the baby boomers now? You know, the first baby boomer turned so-called older adult this year. And many of them are not involved in the life of the church. And so down the pike, it seems to me that we got to get ready for that, because I think we can reach them. I'm just simply speaking from my own experiences during the past 15 years of how we were able to reach many older adults who had turned the church off, and many times they haven't turned God off, but they've turned the institution off, because they see us in the church fighting and fuming and fretting and fussing about things that really don't count. Don't get me off on that, because I think the biggest curse in the Christian church today is institutionalism. All I need to do, I've been doing some consulting in congregations, and I just shake my head. I get such answers as, "Well, we've never done it that way before." You know how many Lutherans it takes to change a light bulb? None? Yeah, or two. One to change it and the other person to tell you how good the old one was. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, I think we in the church, better stay with it, we in the church need to keep reminding our people of who they are and whose they are. And you begin with baptism. And you keep affirming their relationship with the Lord, whether they are young or whether they are old. But you see, the culture has sort of downgraded us getting older. And so we got to help our older people see that they too are special gifts of God. And they're pilgrims, whether they are 10 years old or 90 years old. Does that help a little bit?
I guess I'm looking specifically at the aging part. Do you see that as a gift of God?
Sure. God is allowing me to live. Who else is? Not Walter Schadel. And so I have to get up every morning and say, thank God I'm still alive. I love life. But at the same time, I'm willing to die. I'm ready for it. But I feel as Paul felt, maybe the Lord has something for me yet to do. And so I shouldn't become a couch potato. I'm disappointed in some of my brethren who are 70, like I am, because they become couch potatoes. All they think about is playing golf and traveling here and traveling there. Now, I like to play golf, and I do. And I like to travel, and I do. But I don't think that I should become a couch potato and just simply sit back and take pot shots at the church, like some of my brethren are doing. Yeah, and from my observation, it's the perceptions that people have over and against what's going on in their parish or in their community. And we in the church, I think, have to develop age profiles and surveys in the community. I'm a little shocked, I'll put it that way, as I've gone out and preached in different congregations, and I always talk to the brethren about, well, what's going on in your community? And I discover that many of my brethren don't know. I know more than they do about their community. Because if you ask me to preach in your congregation, I will try to get there a day ahead of time and walk around and say hello to people and ask the folks down the street, what do you know about this church up the hill? Yeah, and the attitude in the congregation ought to be everybody is a somebody, whether they are 2 years old or whether they are 92 years old. And today, it's youth ministry. I think we've got to change our paradigm. Youth ministry has to be done within the framework of the family. And you begin already at baptism. And you don't baptize a child until you've spent time with the parents helping them to see what baptism is all about. And then when the child is 2 years old, you have mom and pop and that two-year-old come to a so-called pre-Sunday school. And then when you get young people ready, if they have a parochial school, you spend time with the parents, helping them to see why they're going to enroll their child in your school. And then when it comes time for First Communion, I believe you ought to be doing it apart from confirmation, you get mom and pop and the sixth grader or fifth grader involved in what does it mean to go to the Lord's table. And then when you get into confirmation, you don't teach confirmation simply in a class setting. But you have a situation whereby you involve the parents. And now we move into youth. You don't do a youth ministry unless you've got mom and pop involved. If you want to learn something about youth ministry, you ought to ask Ben Freudenberg to come out here and to help you see the new paradigm. If you're going to reach older adults. What you said, that's the old paradigm. Okay.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I have one simple question. You mentioned you made a critical assessment on our church somehow paying to win the baby boomer generation due to the fact that not so nice liturgy and not maybe so relevant message for them at all. Now, my question to you is, has that situation improved or been improved, or how is the situation? And if not, what shall we do about it? I think a baby boomer generation today, we have continued the new generation.
Yeah, the baby buster. Okay. I think it's very basic. Many congregations do not communicate a message which says, I care about you. And if we're going to reach the baby boomer or the baby buster, we've got to have an environment which says, I care about you. And it begins Sunday morning, you reach more people than any other time. And so when a person walks into your sanctuary for the first time, hey, those ushers better make you feel welcomed. And I didn't experience that in 25 congregations. They're busy talking to somebody else. Or congregations have these coffee hours. They're a curse to a parish. Because what happens is that the people who know one another talk to one another. And I know that's important. That's the fellowship. But if you're an outsider, you don't feel welcome. And if you look across America and visit the growing churches, man, they make you feel wanted. They make you feel needed. And that's, I believe, is why they're growing. Alan Koss in his church membership initiative, I think, has a lot to say to us. We ought to listen. And I believe that you'll reach the baby boomer and that you'll reach the baby buster now when you show that you care about them. That you provide a nursery, for example, that is top-notch. Not like in one congregation I had my grandchild with me. She was about 2 at the time, and I wanted to put her in a nursery rather than to have to tussle with her in the worship. And I says, where's your nursery? Oh, it's over there somewhere. Did I feel wanted? Did I feel that this congregation wanted to take care of my need? Oh, no. Good observation. We're trying to get congregations to provide older adults for us at Laclede to come up one meal a week to feed older adults. And I failed. I've only gotten two Lutheran congregations to really be involved in that ministry. I can't seem to budge others to take a day. One congregation, every Monday noon, they bring 10 or 15 older adults to feed those on the third floor of our nursing home. And man, what wonderful relationships that are being developed, because there is genuine love there. It's 11:30.
It's about the end of our time.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Blessings on